Good morning, everybody. It's good to see everybody here. I titled my message this morning, Lemons to Lemonade and Joseph's Trials. So we'll start off with a question here. Have you been given lemons? Blake read for us James 1, 2 to 12 for us. Thank you, Blake. And I'll come back to that passage later. But there's a term out there that goes something like this. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. That's usually to refer to something when something sounds like, oh yeah, that'll be easy. But I have another more accurate saying for Joseph life. So it goes something like this. Difficult, difficult, lemon difficult. And as we'll find out, Joseph was given more than just a couple of lemons. When I think of the life of Joseph, I often think of, I already know everything that went on in his life. He was, he had the coat of many colors. He had a few brothers who didn't like him very much. And he was sold in Egypt. And then he became important. And then he got wrongly accused, thrown into prison. And there again, he became even more important, or just as important. And then he interpreted some dreams, got out of jail. He became even more important this time, pretty much the ruler of Egypt, and then managed to get his family over during the during their famine. So that pretty much sums up the life of Joseph in a kind of a broad stroke. But I want to focus this morning more on the first. From like age 17 till 28, 30, just in somewhere in that range. That's his age. So we'll go to be reading from Genesis, starting in Genesis chapter 37. But before we get started here, we're just going to get a little bit of background, some context. So Joseph was born in the year of 1915 BC. So now we know kind of the when, but something I like to do is tie in who else is still alive and where different things are at around him. So Isaac is still alive at this age, in this year. He's 151 years old. He's Joseph's grandfather. And Jacob, who is Joseph's father, is 91 years old. And Joseph is born when Jacob is 91. So not quite as old as Abraham, but he's up there. A little bit of background on Joseph's dad and his family. Joseph's father was Jacob. He got married to Rachel. And Joseph had 10 older brothers, one older sister, and one younger brother. It doesn't talk very much about his sister, so I almost forgot about it. But then I read later on, oh yeah, that's right, he did have a sister yet. But a little bit of background on Jacob. He had a brother, Esau, who was his twin brother, who was technically older, but we read earlier that Jacob stole Esau's birthright from him, and Jacob was kind of a deceptive character, where he managed to steal his brother Esau's birthright by kind of forcing Esau's hand. Oh, Esau came back home from hunting; he was really hungry. Jacob was making some food, and because he was so starving hungry, there was nothing else in the house, he decided to ask Jacob for some food, and Jacob managed to take the birthright from him. The birthright in that day and age was pretty important. It was usually for the oldest person, and they were supposed to, they kind of got like a double inheritance, so it was pretty big deal. So even though Jacob was the younger, he got the benefit of the older. And then the second time Jacob was used deception was actually with the help of his mother Rachel, where Jacob stole the blessing from Esau, which is another kind of a big deal in those days. And these deceptions kind of play kind of an important role in Jacob's life, because later on he also gets deceived by Joseph's brothers. Another fact about Joseph, his name means "may he add." And Rachel named him Joseph because she wanted another son. She wasn't able to have children at this until after Jacob's other wife, Leah, and a couple of other women that he had children with. So Rachel wanted more children, but she didn't know that later on that would have more than just meaning like adding another son, which she eventually got. She had another son named Benjamin. And so later on, we find out that Joseph added more to the kingdom of Egypt when he was a ruler there. He managed to, during the famine and stuff, he managed to get all the land and he got all the livestock and everything like that. So it was more than just adding another son, but adding to the kingdom of Pharaoh, and later on he adds to the kingdom of Israel when they leave. When Jacob moves to Egypt, they get a lot of benefits, and that added to the wealth of Israel for the first little while anyway. So, a couple of facts of Joseph's early life. The closest I could find to where he lived was Hebron, which, if you have a map in the back of your Bible, map number one, it's kind of, should be able to find it. It's close to the sea, close to the south end of the Dead Sea. And the reason we could find that is because in Genesis 37, we find out that Jacob sent Joseph off from the valley of Hebron, which is kind of in that general area. But we don't know exactly if that's where he lived. But Hebron is about 20 miles south of Jerusalem, modern-day Jerusalem. So, and we also know that Joseph and his family took care of livestock, so I think it's pretty safe to assume that he wasn't a vegetarian or a vegan, which if he was, I can see why his brothers didn't like him very much. Not that I have anything against vegans or vegetarians. But so Jacob was, because Joseph was Jacob's first son, his first biological son with the wife that he actually loved, or he actually wanted to be with, he showed him a lot of favoritism, and that caused some dysfunction. And we can read that Jacob's family, or Joseph's brothers, and Jacob's family, did not like that idea of being, even though they were older, that Joseph was his favorite. And it started with a bad report, and we can read that here in Genesis 37, starting at verse 2. This is the account of Jacob's family. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. So now Joseph is already a favorite, and his brothers can tell that Jacob favored Joseph, and then Joseph brings a bad report about his brothers. I don't think he did it intentionally. I think he just was being honest, and his brothers hated him even more. But Israel loved Joseph more than any of his brothers, because he had been born to him in his old age, and he had made an ornate robe for him. So the ornate robe is what was referred to as the coat of many colors, it's just a special robe. One commentary I read was that it was just a robe that was, it didn't necessarily have to be made of many colors, but it was a robe that was like what kings would wear, or princes. It was something really fancy, and it set you apart from other people. So now Joseph's brothers again, they started to hate him even more because he was now he had something to show publicly that he was more favored than the rest of the family. So, yeah, it's kind of, I guess you could imagine what it would be like if your parents would pick a favorite and then let everybody know, this is my favorite son, and the rest of you are kind of, nah, whatever. But, yeah, when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. And Joseph then had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field, when suddenly my sheaf rose up and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered round mine and bowed down to it." I could imagine his brothers' reaction at this time. They probably, as Mike likes to say, then they lost it. They said, "Do you really intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" I could imagine their brothers being pretty furious at this point. But then he has another dream. And I would think that Joseph might have caught on to this at some point, where he kind of realized his brothers didn't like it very much, because it says earlier that they couldn't speak a kind word to him. So, and then, but he was, at this age, he's only 17, he's young, he's probably naive a little bit, and he tells them the second dream that he has. "Listen," he said, "I had another dream, and this time the sun and moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him, and his father kept the matter in mind. So there was caused a lot of dysfunction. Although I'm pretty sure Joseph didn't do it on purpose, but I guess he was excited. He had two dreams that were kind of the same, and obviously it meant something in Joseph's day. Not just with the Hebrews, but with other religions around them, dreams were a big deal. They meant something, and especially a dream like this, where there's two that are kind of the same. It was, I guess you could say it was like a prophecy. And in that society, the younger was never over the older person, like the older siblings. That's not the way that they expected it to work, but God rarely used that in different instances. Like we think of Isaac and Ishmael. Ishmael was older, but Isaac was the chosen one, and Jacob over Esau, and later on, Joseph's sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Ephraim was the younger one, but he was chosen over Manasseh, and David over his brothers. So we can see that God often works out things with using the younger over the older. So now Genesis 37:12-14. I'll quickly read that here. "So now his brothers had gone to graze their father's flocks near Shechem, and Israel said to Joseph, 'As you know, your brothers are grazing the flocks near Shechem. Come, I'm going to send you to them.' 'Very well,' he replied. So he said to him, 'Go and see if all is well with your brothers and with the flocks, and bring word back to me.' Then he sent him off from the valley of Hebron." So that's kind of where I figure that they were probably in that vicinity, is where they had settled, where Jacob had settled. So we learn that Joseph was it seems like he was an honest man who just wanted to please his father. He brought back an honest report about them earlier, and this time Jacob wanted him to do the same thing, like not bring a bad report, but to bring an honest report. So he sent Joseph off to check up on his sons. We read in earlier that Joseph's sister Dinah was raped by these men from Shechem, Dothan area, and I'm probably assuming that Jacob wanted Joseph to go and check on them to make sure that they weren't causing trouble, because they had been there earlier and they killed all the men that were part of that, that lived in that area. So I'm sure Jacob probably just wanted Joseph to go and check up on them and make sure they weren't causing trouble. So I'm not exactly sure what was running through Jacob's mind at this point, because he must have seen that his brothers, that Joseph's brothers didn't like Joseph very much, but he sends him off in this robe, which I'm sure Jacob wanted people to know that Joseph was his favorite, so he sent him off in this robe to, he was probably proud of him, so he wanted to, wanted to let people know. But he had to have known that his sons disliked Joseph a little bit. But I kind of feel bad for Joseph at this point, because later on we read what happens to Joseph when he gets to his brothers. And if his father didn't know about it, his brothers kept it either kept it hidden from their father, or he just kind of blocked that part out, didn't want to see what was going on in his family. But yeah, Joseph is pretty much set up for failure the minute his father sent him off in the robe. So I did some measuring on a map, and according to some biblical maps, Shechem is about 50 miles north of Hebron, and Dothan is another 15 miles north of Shechem. So I kind of did the math, and it's about 65 miles, or from here to Oak Bluff. That's how far Joseph had to travel to go find his brothers. But when he gets there, we find out that they weren't actually even in Shechem, so he had to go even further to Dothan. And that country is very hilly, so he probably walked uphill both ways, through 4 feet of snow, through a blizzard. Well, maybe not, but maybe that's what he'll tell his kids later on to make it sound more interesting. But before his brothers even get to him, they plan to kill him. So we can read that in verses 15 to 22. We'll read that. When Joseph arrived at Shechem, a man found him wandering around in the fields and asked him, "What are you looking for?" He replied, "I am looking for my brothers. Can you tell me where they are grazing their flocks?" "They have moved on from here," the man answered. "I heard them say, 'Let's go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them near Dothan. But as they saw him in the distance, and before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. We'll keep going here. "Here comes that dreamer," they said to each other. "Come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what becomes of his dreams." So here we can tell that they severely disliked him. They did not like the idea of their younger brother ruling them. So they were going to do whatever they could to make sure that didn't happen. And nowadays it's called premeditated murder and will get you life in prison. And maybe a chance of parole. But his brother Reuben must not have hated him as much as his other brothers, or maybe he just didn't want the guilt of dealing with that, of killing one of his own brothers. So he convinces his brothers to not kill him, but throw him into a cistern. And a cistern is just a giant pit that was meant to collect rainwater, or, just water that can be used for irrigation or watering your animals and that kind of stuff. But at this, I guess maybe this time of the year, they were empty. So they were going to toss him in there. And some believe that they were going to wait till Reuben was gone and then they were going to kill him, or they were just going to maybe leave him there to die. But we don't know exactly what their intent was at that point. But I'm sure they were probably just waiting for somebody to come up with another idea. But as they sat down to eat their meal, they looked up and saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead. So now imagine that. You just threw your brother into a pit, stripped him of his clothes, first of all, threw him into a pit, and now you're going to sit down and all have lunch together. That's something. You almost, like, you would think that they would have a conscience, but they, yeah, pretty far gone, if you ask me. So they, so I don't know if Reuben had left, well, Reuben at some point had left here. He maybe went to go check the sheep, or maybe, maybe didn't want to take part fully in the act or something, but he had left, and his intentions were to take him back to his father when, so I guess Reuben was kind of thinking, okay, well, we'll leave him here, and then once we're gone, then I'll come back and I'll get him and I'll bring him back to dad. But while he was gone, his brothers sold him to some passing Ishmaelites or Midianites. It's kind of a general term. Ishmaelites is just a term for tribal or for the desert tribes. At least that's what I read in one of the commentaries. But, yeah, so they sold him off to these Ishmaelites who were on their way to Egypt with spices and all kinds of other things that the Egyptians used for their embalming practices and different stuff like that. So, and the trip from Dothan to where Joseph would have been sold, which is kind of close to modern-day Cairo, I think. It's about 400 to 450 kilometers. And I'm not very good at judging how many kilometers that would be, so I just kind of figure, I Google Mapsed it, and it's about from here to Grand Rapids, kind of that distance. It's how far he would have had to go back past his homeland. So...